Blog Talk Radio. Assalamualaikum. Praise be to Allah. And we are bringing on this evening a program that we bring 6 days a week, every day except Thursday. And the name of it is Message of Concern. And I'm going to read the message of concern so you know what we're talking about in a few seconds. And praise be to Allah, we're supposed to have about three or four guests on this evening. And, you know, if it's real of God, we just want to talk about the message of concern and the things that we are doing. We got, I try to get a wide range of brothers. You know, I got a brother out of Chicago, a brother out of Louisiana, and another brother out of, let's see, who's the other brother? But anyway, we're going to be talking tonight. A brother out of Atlanta, praise be to Allah. Brother Imam Ibrahim Brother Imam Ibrahim out of Atlanta, Georgia. So they're going to be coming from different perspectives, you know, and that's the way we want it. That's the way we want it. You know, we want to present something where we can think. You know, we don't want to present nothing where it was, I remember the Imam Wahbi Muhammad told us that I don't want no parakeet. You know, somebody that can regurgitate something. Just regurgitate something. That means you ain't been studied. That means that you haven't went into it. You know, go into the message of concern and find out what it's all about. And after you find out what it's all about, you're going to see something that I don't see. Praise be to Allah. It's be a dull world if everybody see the same thing. It'd be a real dull world, you know. So we really appreciate our brothers and sisters, you know, skill and their understanding. And we want to move forward. We don't want to stand still. We want to move ahead. And that's what the message of concern is all about. Is to remove this racial image out of our mind, where we can think, we can advance. You know, we can do some things that we see. You know, don't be on hold. Don't be trying to reproduce something. You know, we don't need a whole lot of reproduction. You know, we need ideas, new ideas. You know, some of us is thinking. Some of us have good ideas, and we want to hear them. I first like to open up with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. And I bear witness and testify that there is only one creator who exists alone, who has no partners, no shareholders. You know, he exists alone. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the prophet. He's a messenger of Allah. He's God's servant. It's coming out of Los Angeles, California, and we have a brother by the name of Brother Aileen. I hate to mess up a brother's name. Brother Amin, and he is the brother that is responsible for this program, and it's been on for a while, you know, and we asking everybody to tune in, listen in. You won't have input. We don't have no problem with that. I just explained to you that we want new ideas. We want peoples to move forward. We want you to have some input. I'm not here just to try to dictate to you a program you. I'm here to free you. Like Jesus said, know you the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what knowledge is all about. That's what the truth is all about. It make the individual free. And I really feel good when a person step up and speak up. You know, step up and speak up. Because this world that we're living in today, brothers and sisters, is just falling apart. You know, it's just falling apart. The people that's running this world is in trouble. They got the world in trouble. And the reason for that is because they are trying to advance falsehood. They're trying to advance things that's not true, things that are not real, things that can't be proven. So they're in trouble. I'd like to read the message of concern and we start off with the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Out of respect for man's creator, a message of concern by Imam Wahidin Muhammad. And he asked the question, what would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? What would this do to the minds of the world children? What would happen to the world children put up under a figure of a particular race presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men? And then you have a quote in here from the Holy Quran, and it's coming from Surah 3, Ayat 64. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Say, O peoples of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partners with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslim bind to God's will. Imam said, civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no God. We are only men, mortal from the mortal. He, Allah, created. Quran. Praise be to Allah. So, you know, Imam asking that question, so we can realize and see that this would have a serious effect, you know, of raising up images, and throughout the Bible, throughout the Scripture. And one of the brothers that we inshallah gonna get on, he have a book out, you know, and his book is addressing images in religion, false worship, you know, and that's a big problem. And he's talking about how it affects the mind of children, of young folk, you know, and how it affects the minds of Caucasians, you know, the psychological effect. And the Imam asked the question, what would happen if people sit in church throughout the world with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? The answer to that is that it will make the peoples that's not African-American want to be like African-American. They'll look up to African-American as superior. They'll look up to African-American as godlike, you know. And they'll try to identify everything they do with African-American. And that's what we're facing right today, brothers and sisters. That's the reality. They are pushing the Caucasian image today. They have his image in the world. And we can easily tell you how it affects the young people all over the world, how it affects them psychologically.
El Fatiha, please. El Fatiha.
I said, Malika.
Alaykum as-salam.
Oh, okay then. Alhamdulillah. I thought you could you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, I heard you say Al Fatiha.
Yes, I did. We didn't
okay,
say. I didn't
right.
open up. I didn't open up. I just waited.
Okay, then. Oh, alhamdulillah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Brother Imam, could you please open up for us, please? Brother Imam Ibrahim, are you on?
No, he's not on yet.
Okay, then. Is anybody on other than me? Anybody
yes.
else points in?
Yes, we have Brother Imam. We have another guest. And we have, but I mean,
another guest. Okay, then, what I'm going to do, I'm gonna open up, and inshallah, you know, we bring Brother Amin on, and then we start bringing in the guests. Praise be to Allah. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment, thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way. The way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favor and grace, not of those whom thy wrath has brought down, nor of those who go astray, I mean. And also we'd like to say Ramadan Mubarak also to our brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah. And I'm going to bring on our brother Amin. And inshallah, you know, he can bring on his guests, and we're going to keep this him moving. So without any delay, we're going to bring on Brother Amin. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Brother Amin, your
brother
mic is
open. Okay, okay, this guest. Let me bring on the guest.
Okay. The unfamiliar number just hung up. I thought it was a guest.
What was the number? Was it 404 or 225?
The 225, I think, yes. 225.
Okay, then. That was another email.
Well, I didn't know that.
That was Brother Imam. Imam Mazza.
All the mics were open.
And you say that he hung up?
He just now hung up. Yes, after you finished with the El Fatiha.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Alhamdulillah. Is Brother Amin still on?
Yes, he is. He may not be ready to talk right now because he's working at the same
time.
Oh, okay.
He's not in the queue. Okay then.
No.
Well, alhamdulillah. We when he's ready, he just can step on in. Come on in. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
So it's a concern. It's a concern that Imam Wabdi Muhammad had in reference to the psychological effect that this image have on peoples that don't look like that image. You know. And if a person does any type of research, and find out what is an image and the effect that images have on the minds of people, and then he'll come into the reality of the concern, the message. You know, and we had some psychologists looked into this image also, and they came to the conclusion that one of the main causes of mental illnesses is false worship. You know, worshiping something that other than God. You know, worshiping anything that's out of this creation, anything. The tree, knowledge, money, anything out of this creation a person give themselves to and put and worship that thing as the way we worship God, then the psychologists say that has a psychological effect on the mind of that individual that does that. And it's one of the main causes of mental illness, one of the main causes of insanity, you know. And you know, it's amazing when you talk to a person that's insane, you know, a person that is not in their right mind. You know, I know you talk. I know all of us have talked to people like that, you know, and nobody wants that on the children. Nobody wants that on none of their family, you know. So we asking for the help, you know, to remove all these racial images out of worship. Any racial image, anything, you know, the pictures on the wall, you know. Now, just because you got a picture up don't mean that you worship that. That's not what we're talking about is pictures that portray God. If you have a picture up on the wall of your sister or your brother or your mother or your father, that's not saying that you worship that. We're not telling you to take down your pictures. We're saying remove anything that portray God, any kind of picture that portray God. If that picture's up and you say that you worship that, that thing bring you good luck, it's the cause of you progressing, it's because of you getting money, or anything like that, you know, then that picture, you are worshiping it, you know. You got that up as your God, you know. So we asking you to remove that, you know, but don't take down no pictures of Martin Luther King, Kennedy, Malcolm X. We know, we're not telling you to take those pictures down. That's not in the line of what we're talking about. That's not in line with what Imam Wahidi Muhammad is talking about. You know, even though some of us makes mistakes, and we got to come into understanding, a better understanding, you know, alhamdulillah. You know, we probably got pictures of our family members. You know, some of us got picture books, you know, that we take of different events that we have, and just have that as a reminder. Also, we take pictures of each other when we are at one age, and we get to another age. And we show the picture, said, look here, I took a picture of you when you was 20 or 25, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to let you see it. I got that picture. So I let you see that picture. But that don't mean that I had that picture, worshiping that picture, and like you was God or something. No. That's superstitious. That's a misunderstanding. And you don't have the understanding of what the Imam is talking about when he talks about the message of the sun, when he's talking about removing racial images out of worship that portray God, or moving all images that portray God. That's not talking about that. You know, so we want you to come into a clear understanding. We want you to be able to step up and speak and talk to us about things that is a concern. You know, we have the church, and we ain't just picking on the church, but we have the church have an image of, you know, and we asking the church, you know, to remove those racial images out of worship. Now, we have quite a few churches have removed the image. That's amazing. We have quite a few churches have removed images out of the church. They don't have no pictures. And it's good not to have pictures in the house of worship. That's real good. You know, cause it's a place where you worship God. You know, and it's a place where you practice and you teach. You know, people in reference to God. You know, so you don't want to have that up in your church. You know, you don't want to have no images. You don't want to have no statues up in your church. You know, you don't want to have the pastor picture up there in your church. You know, you don't want to do that, because it can easily be misunderstood. You know, when you do that particular thing. You know, so that's religion and Islam teaches us common sense. Common sense. It's just something you don't have to go to college for. You know, it's just things that stand to reason. You know, it's things you talk about and you can reason with. You know, when you say that God, the creator of the heavens and earth, the one that is supreme, the one that created everything, the one that says that he can say be, or that he said be, and everything came into existence. You see, the creator of everything, you know, we can't say that he has an equal. You know, we can't say that he has a son. That he had a son. Now we know the process, the principle of having children. You know, having daughters and having sons. You know, and if you go along on those lines, on the responsibility of a son, you know, you'll come to the conclusion that it's a bad idea to say that God has a son. Also, the idea that there's three gods. Now, I'm talking about things that my books say, that God say desist, to take it out. Don't say it no more. Don't talk about that. Don't push that forward. Allah said that desist in saying that there are three gods. You know, and that's one of the things that the church pushed. And there's three gods: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And that the Son is equal to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is equal to God. And all the three is one. You know, they're equal. That type of knowledge, those type of ideas, when they go out into the society, it messes up the mind of the people. And that's one of the things we have a concern about. That's important, brothers and sisters. You put forth an idea that the one that's most superior, there's nothing more superior than God. You know, if a dog had a puppy, the puppy's going to be a dog. If a horse had a pony, the pony's going to grow up and be a horse. You see? So you put an idea out that the creator of everything had a son. Now you should be able to see what has been done. And see, what makes it so bad, brothers and sisters, they told us that God had a son, but they give us a picture of his son. Think about it, brothers and sisters. They give us, we're talking about the church. We're talking about the preacher. We're talking about the Christian. Not all Christians. There are some Christians that don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. There are some Christians who believe that Jesus is God's servant, that he's the prophet of Almighty God. You got some Christians believe the way the real Jew believe, or the real Muslim believe. You know, they believe that Jesus is God's servant. And they believe that Jesus can be followed. That we as human beings, or the Christian brothers and sisters, can follow Jesus. That he was a human being, just like us. But that other Jesus that they got during the time of the Council of Nicaea and that big meeting that Constantine called and brought forth a Jesus that got superpower. You know, Jesus that they say that he's God. He's the Almighty God. That he died for your sin. And that they buried him, but he rose up and he came back again. Lord have mercy. They put that forth. They put that big lie forth, and you got children, and you got older people still believing in a lie. I was looking at a movie, and this lady said that the brother had put up a black Jesus. And she went and got her Jesus, said, this is the Jesus, only Jesus I know. She had a picture of a white man. You see how deadly that is? Now, this is an African-American woman. This is a mother. That's deadly. Super deadly. That this is the only Jesus I know. This is my Jesus. You see? So that's how detrimental it is putting forth that type of idea out in the society and just start teaching it, glorifying it. Every time they mention a word or what they say, God say, they say, thank you, Jesus. They are in the name of Jesus. when they pray. They pray in Jesus' name, not in God's name. They pray in Jesus' name. What you think gonna happen to the mind? That's what the imam said. What you think gonna happen to the mind of the world children? We see what done happen, brothers and sisters. It ain't no beautiful thing. It's an ugly thing. Of what they done. You know. So brothers and sisters, this is the show. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about the message of concern. And if you're interested and you got something that maybe I forgot, I didn't say because I can't. I'm not talking to you in absolute. Nobody that get up here and speak and say something can speak to you in absolute. Only somebody can talk in absolute is God. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, is that even our holy book, you can read a verse out of it. We call it surah, a verse. And you can get 20 peoples out of this verse, short verse, and each one can have a different idea. Can't no one person give the absolute idea. If a person come to you and tell you something, that's something they don't learn. And they passing it on. That's the only thing they can do, brothers and sisters. And guess what? You make the final decision. Whether or not you're going to accept what they brought you or reject it. Ain't that something? That's what a free will is. That's what a free will is. I listen to something that you say. I got a right to accept it or reject it. Think about that, brothers and sisters. We should believe in God right away. Just from that, just from knowing that little knowledge right there, I can think for myself. I can make decisions. I can create. I can bring forth new ideas and different ideas. We should be thanking God right now. Everybody ain't going to tell you this, brothers and sisters. But Islam is a way of life. We call it deen. A way of life that frees the individual. Frees the individual. Why do we free the individual? Because one day, you as an individual is going to have to go before God, and you're going to be judged, and you ain't going to be able to say how you spend your life that the devil made you do it. The reason that you do things that you do is that the devil made me do it. Now, everything that you do, you're going to be responsible for it. Our book, the Quran, say that he assigned God, assigned two angels on your right and on your left, and they have a book, and they writing down everything that you do, everything. So it's the individual that's responsible, brothers and sisters. You're not responsible as a group. You're not responsible for what a group did. You're responsible for your own action. That's what they had to do to us, brothers and sisters, with this lie. You see? They said that Adam sinned. And because he sinned, the children took on the responsibility. They have been blamed for the sin that he did. Ain't that something? And you know what I'm talking, what I'm saying is the truth. We are blamed because of what Adam and Eve did. The human being is blamed for that. The Quran, Islam, it came to change that, to clarify that. You're only blamed for your own action. Thank Allah. We should thank God, brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to, have anybody else came into the queue? Sister Dahlia, have anybody else came into the queue?
I had to unmute. Let me see. Well, yes, they have. But
225.
Yes, someone have their hand up now.
Okay, then let's set them point one. Come on in. Assalamu alaikum.
Hold on. It just blanked out. Hold on. Actually making me sign back in again. Okay, here we go. Having some little technical problems. Just hold on. Coming back in now. Okay, there it is. It's back in now. Okay.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Sujah. I'm bringing him in now. Hold on 1 second. It's Brother Imam Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to turn it over to you. I know I'll turn it over to you, ma'am. I'm in good hands. Especially
Allah,
Imam
Allah,
Ibrahim.
Yes,
Alhamdulillah.
Sir.
You got it, brother, and I'm going to try to get into the other brothers. And see what happens, you know. Favorite
Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Watuhu la shirika la. Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. I owe the bad witness and testify nothing deserving of worship but the Creator. This creation is His to rule and to govern alone. As my brother was saying, God don't need associates. You don't need no partner. You know, all these things came from his mind. And all he had to do is say be, and it was, or it is. And just like our big brother was saying, everything that God created, he created a mate to it. So they can produce what they are. But nothing can produce him. You can't begat him. Once you coming to the knowledge that he exists, you can never forget him. It's impossible. So that's why we bear witness openly that nothing is deserving of worship but him. Why would I want to give my time, energy, the precious breath that God had breathed into me away to something that don't mean me any good? Something that can't even speak back to me. Something that can't give me guidance. I'm hurting, I'm sick, and laying in my bed, and I look and see an image of a cross of a man up on the wall, and I'm talking to it, but it doesn't respond to me. And you call that the creator? You call that a God? No. So we bear witness of the one who created everything, the one who is responsible for everything that exists. That's who we give homage to. That's who we worship. That's who we praise. And we also bear witness that when he created man, he did not leave man out in the cold on his own. He gave him I don't want to say book in this term. He gave him information through inspiration to guide him. Now we have in a blueprint form, so he didn't leave you in this world he created for you alone. He gave you something to guide you through it. All the way to the time he called you back. He pulled you forth from the earth, and then he's going to call you back to it. So now that's the one you should be praying to and looking up to, something that can heal you. As many prophets say, when I'm ill, I don't look for man. When I'm ill, I look for my Lord to heal me. That's who have the power to take anything from me that don't belong to me, that would hurt me. So that's why we bear witness to him. And we also bear witness that this book I'm telling you about, this manuscript, this scroll, that he gave to Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad wasn't stingy. What did he do with the message? He gave the message to the world. He wasn't a local prophet or messenger. He was a universal messenger and prophet. That's why we had the book way over here in America, and he was born in Saudi Arabia or in Mecca. So that message that God gave him to seal all the prophets, no more prophets after you. You are the last one. So we don't need to look for no prophets. And we're taking the message because he was a prophet and a messenger. He was able to prophesy what was coming. And he also, when he prophesied, he gave you a clear message of the prophecy prophesizing. So isn't that worth following? And that's why our Lord tells us that he, from Muhammad, is the best example for mankind. And if mankind take and study his life, study his history, he can pull himself out of a whole lot of trouble. But he don't want that. So let's go back to what my big brother said earlier. What he wants to do is to keep you in a state of confusion that he got you in today. Oh, I can't make up my mind. Oh, I don't know what's the truth. No, you don't. God said, and I need to taught us, that if God never sent us a prophet, never sent us a messenger, your very nature would act as a prophet or messenger to you. Now, prove me wrong. When you got to steal that biscuit or steal that orange in the store, what you looking around for? Because someone's telling you, you better watch it. Then you know that ain't right. See, that message of prophet message was already in your nature. But so what God did was send you a man to exemplify everything that was in you that you have no knowledge of. You couldn't determine what was going on. So he gave you a physical being, teach you how to recognize the things that's in you that will harm you or do you good. And that person was Prophet Muhammad. So we highly, highly respect Prophet Muhammad. We love Prophet Muhammad. We love Prophet Muhammad more than we love ourselves. That's how we're able to identify what his mission was. And his mission also was talking about removing imagery. I'll give you an example. When the big priest came from the Pope and visited Prophet Muhammad and was talking about Jesus, and Prophet Muhammad told him the concept that he had of Jesus was wrong. So he wanted to debate with Prophet Muhammad. So Prophet Muhammad made it short. He said, I tell you what. You got your family with you. You bring your family and your followers, or your family and your wife and your children, and I'll bring mine tomorrow at such and such a time, and we will meet, and we will swear, Creator of the heavens and the earth, that what I am saying is the truth. And I'm going to say it four times, and what you're saying is a lie. Then I want you to say that what you are saying is the truth, and what I have told you is a lie. On tomorrow, such a time, the day came, everybody was assembled, the priest never showed up. So what did that tell you? If you say that you have this message of divine from God, then why didn't you show up? Okay, my big brother made a statement. Have God don't have no son, none that is equal. You know, the son is not equal to the daddy. We were not equal to our father when we was born and coming up, and they was bringing us up. You weren't equal to your daddy. When your dad was in his 20s and 30s, he'd knock the hell out of you. Excuse my language. So how are you equal to him? But I'm giving you a parable, because everything we say that they taught us wrong, let's go back and see what Jesus said. See, if you stick to scripture, which you got to go back to if you want to survive this thing, so if we were wrong, we quote what Jesus said. Jesus said, no man is held accountable for another man's sins. Now, that's in your book. So whatever our father did or whatever Adam did back then and Eve, we're not held accountable for our father or what he did back then. If Jesus said no man is held accountable for another man's sin, my son is not held accountable for what I do or what I have done, and I'm not held accountable for what he do. You're not held accountable for what he do or what she do. You're all held accountable for your own acts only. So we kind of help you trade this thing out. The very concepts that they gave you of this imagery, the only absolute, like my big brother say, now there is an absolute now, and the only absolute is truth. What truth? We say El Haq. Allah is the truth. God is the truth. That's the only absolute. So if you're speaking for what God said, that's the only thing that's absolute that's coming out your mouth. You're representing the absolute. And that's what Prophet Muhammad did. All the prophets that came before him, they spoke the same truth that Muhammad spoke the day that he was here. And what we have done, we have picked up the banner of Al-Islam that Prophet Muhammad and his companions had. They didn't lay it down. We picked it up. And when I say we picked it up, I'm saying those who have had this religion. There are four schools of thought, as we call it. Well, we the fifth one. Just let the world know this right now. Other than leadership, email, what did Muhammad? We the fifth school of thought, and we can prove it. Because number one, the four schools that are already here exist. It's some good in every last one of them, but they have failed. They don't have the force behind them anymore. Because what Allah say, if you don't do the work, I will give it to another people. And Allah has gave it to us. We got this mission now. That's why we're on fire the way we're on fire, but we know how to control the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, so we're trying to put the fire that we got in our minds and hearts that God gave us, we're trying to put it in you. What would it do? It would open your eyes. Well, I'm already seeing, not that eye, your mind's eye. It's just like in psychology they say, when information is given to you, when it comes through you, when you read it, it goes into you, into your heart, right? Okay, so you got a conscious. You're conscious that you're reading something. And now you're trying to dissect what you read. But what happens, and listen to this system, it goes to the subconscious. There's a conscious, sub is below. But what's in the subconscious does this. It says, hey up there. Say, this is wrong. This is wrong here. I'm going to send it back to you, straighten it out. Then you send it down here. That's what we call when you get information and it gets into your heart and it's right. Then we can confirm the message that we have received. And that's what we're trying to do to you with your mind eye, not your physical eye. Because what God say about the physical eye? You know, your physical eye see, but what your physical eye see is not the same thing that's in your heart. So that means that you're saying things out of your mouth that's not in the heart, meaning that you're not sincere. But you told me you saw it. You didn't see it. You told me you heard it. You didn't hear it. That's why you can't speak on it, because you didn't hear. So Blog Talk Radio is designed specially for the listeners to be able to think. Why? Because once we teach you or show you how to think, well, today, thinking benefits the thinker. And we're trying to help you become a thinker so you can be free and be men and women to stand on your own feet and think for yourself. The consciousness that we have, our prophet was a common sense prophet. He wasn't no way out in the sky nowhere. What God gave him, he can bring it out of the sky and put it right before a five-year-old, and we understand it. Can we prove it? Yes. He was sitting with the Sahaba one day, his companions, and they were citing the Surah Ikhlas. Say he Allah's one. No, he was citing one come to help of Allah, and thou do see the people in the crowd in religion. So he asked them, the Sahaba, do you know what that means? And they said no. So it was a young man between the age of 10 and 13. He said, do you know what it means? He said, yeah. Yes, Rasulullah. He said, what do it mean? He said, when Allah inspired the people, when Allah bring the people into the religion, then we have a job. We have a duty to do what? To elevate them, elevate their understanding, their conscious level, so they can worship God properly. And Prophet Muhammad told them, you're right. See, young man, and that's what we're trying to do to you. We're trying to bring you from a dead level, as the Masons say, and place you perpendicular on a square. Because four is a square which all things stand on. If you look at the bottom of your feet, it's got four points. That's why you're able to stand. Mm-hmm. There's a balance there. And the information we give you balance in life. It's like what I told you the other day. Don't never get upset to the degree where those your mental equilibrium and all. Now listen, if your equilibrium is off, what they're saying, that you have no balance. And then that means you're easily misled, and you easily allow certain forces to overtake you because you don't have balance mentally. And this is what Shaitan do. He makes sure, look at our children now, when I say that, look at our young teenagers. He has stripped them from their shame. He has stripped them. Once he stripped you from that, that's natural in you that mom and dad had taught you not to do and what to do, once he can take that from you, then you belong to him. And that's why you should be saying like the old folks, you'll say, Lord, have mercy. We ask Allah to have mercy on us daily, especially reading our Quran. Every time I read a surah, well, I say I'm all forgiving and most merciful. I forgive again and again. I say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Every time I read something like, I ask Allah to forgive me. Have mercy on me. Right then, read. Because we're trying to stay conscious. That's why when we started talking, what do we say? We open the bad windows and testify that the one that gave us life, the one that breathed his breath or his spirit into our nostrils, and we became a living soul. That's why we mention him in the beginning of our talks. And we also mention him at the end of our talk. We mention him when we lay down tonight. We say, oh, Allah, as thou hast made me a Muslim believer, worship and praise in you. Please allow me to rise up in the morning, a Muslim, a believer, worship and praise in you and you alone. I mean, that's what we say, things like that. Prophet Muhammad said that there were some believers that would go to bed at night and wake up in the morning disbelievers. And there are some disbelievers that go to bed at night and wake up believers. So we try to stay in that frame of being believers. We just ain't running around talking, I'm a Muslim. When people ask me, are you Muslim? I say, I'm a believer, aren't you? Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe. See, I avoid the argument. I can get into it, but I don't want to get into that. Why? Because we'll learn how to use common sense that our prophet used. We'll learn how to use the tact, being tactful in our conversation with people. But we're trying to learn to leave all the things alone that God said don't do. Why is it so hard when the scriptures say, make no engraved images of me, from the heavens above, nor the earth beneath, for I, God, is just a God. If that's said in the scripture, why did they go against it? And why are there so many places of worship with all these images? When Jesus taught in the synagogue in Israel, there was no imagery in there. There was nothing in there but people listening to this man talk to get an understanding of what God wants. Not what you want, not what I want, what God wants. This is what we bring. We bring in a message to you, what God wants, not what we want. We want it for you, but God wants this for you. And that's our job, is to get it to you. That's what we're trying to do. This is why we try to rouse the minds of the people, raise a level of consciousness so they can pull themselves out of the mud and the mud that they in. We say mud, we're talking about in the society, all the corruption that you're in. You can't go to bed unless you got a sip of wine. You got to run out at 11 o'clock at night, the TV go, if you go to bed and grab your cigarette, you got to find one and a fool on the other. See, all this kind of stuff. And then you won't eat the swine. And God said, read the book, don't even touch dead cockers. So why are they putting this to you when God said, don't do it, why are you doing it? Somebody has made you weak in the flesh and in the mind to make you go against what God done told you to do in the scripture. And see, it's not so much their fault as it is yours, because you won't even pick up the scripture and read it for yourself. Well, you can be acquainted with what God's saying. So when somebody comes, you say, wait, hold on. I know this from my brothers and my sisters, and they Muslim. I know it. And they had me go to my book, and I seen it with my own eyes. God said, worship me in spirit and truth. He ain't seen no physical being. So how did things get before us like that? We got to start studying for ourselves and pass the truth on to our children. If you don't, look what happened to your daughter, like it happened to me to our daughter. In the street, grab some no good male out there, and then she ain't no good no more. Think about that, as well as some of my young brothers. So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, I ain't going to say I'm going to say we came to you in peace. And we want to leave you in peace, because the message we bring is the message that we give you peace, not hell. We don't bring a message to give you confusion, because all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial the number and come and talk to us and say, I want to ask the question. And we would try our best to answer that question that you're asking. If not, we would say, brother or sister, will you give us a couple of days to come back on? And if God with it, we'll have an answer for you. So we come to you in peace. We want to lead you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah, brother. We thank Allah for you. That was the message. I can bear witness that the message was passed. Alhamdulillah. Brother Menza, and my good brother Menza, I hope he's still, I hope he's on. I was told you was on once, 225.
He didn't come back on yet.
He haven't came back on. Alhamdulillah, brother Menza. He's a good brother. Good brother, he can teach too. He loves to teach. Just like Brother Ephraim. All these are good brothers. Love to teach. If we believe in God, I just want to read something from the Holy Quran, and that's God's word. And God told us in this book, say, argue with them with what I give you. You know, you have some people said, don't be teaching that truth out there because you ain't doing it but getting in an argument. Well, God said, argue with them with what I give you. God said, argue with them. All right? With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, I will do believe, Mina Shikam Ajin. Surah 5, starting at Ayat 8. Allah said, O ye who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just. That is next to piety. And fear Allah. For Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. For those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, has Allah promised forgiveness and a great reward. Those who reject faith and deny our signs will be companions of hellfire. O ye who believe, call and remember the favor of Allah unto you. When certain men form the design to stretch out their hand against you, I held back their hand from you. So fear Allah, and on Allah let believers put all their trust. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. They're going to try to down you. They're going to try to give you a bad image. They're going to try everything that they can, you know, but Allah is saying right here that he's with you, that he's going to protect the believer. You see, this is why we're teaching you to join us in worshiping the one God. And you're going to have truth on your side, and you stand up with nothing but truth. Nothing but truth. A lie ain't going to get it. You don't need a lie. A lie ain't going to make it. Nothing but truth. And bear witness that there's only one God. There's one in the creation. There's one in the Creator. You see? So there's one. And the Creator and the creation is different. What is the difference? Everything in creation is dependent. Everything in creation is dependent. You see, it can't exist alone. It can't exist alone. They got what we call pollination. You know, if you plant a tree, you got to plant two of them. You see. So they go through that pollination system idea, you know. Everything in creation is dependent. The land will dry up if it don't have water. The water won't go from one area to another if it didn't have wind or didn't have clouds to carry it around. You see? That's right. And where do the water come from? Do the water come from the sky? water come from the earth. It don't come from the sky. It says that the sun draws it up in a fine mist that the naked eye can't see. And then it it develop into a cloud and the cloud get heavy.
Ready to arm.
Yes, sir. So we bear witness that Allah is completely different from this creation. Allah said that He can destroy this whole creation. And now I just said that everything in creation is dependent, right? Allah can destroy this whole creation. He don't have no need for this creation. And the Quran says He can bring in a completely different one, a completely new, different from the way this one is. You see? Why is that? Because He's independent. He has no need. You see? He has no need. You know, He exists, and He exists alone. The Quran said no vision can grasp Allah. You see? No vision. You know? And you know what makes us see. You know? We had to use our five senses to see. You know? But I remember the Imam said, everything is the word. And the word is what you use to see with. You can't see unless you use the word. And the word is the creation. And you can't visualize anything unless you use something out of creation. It's impossible. Impossible. You got to use something out of creation to see. You see? So if I put a tag on you, you got to see the tag? No. Your sense of feeling can identify that you got a sharp object up under you. If somebody was cooking fish or chicken in the other room, you had to see it? No. Your sense of smell can identify and tell you exactly what you're cooking. So he's cooking chicken in there. Oh, yeah, he's begging it. He's begging that chicken. Oh, he's frying that chicken. He's cooking fried chicken. You see? So your five senses. You got your five senses. Can see for you. You know? But Allah don't need none of those things. He don't. All Allah say He have to do is say be. That's all. You see, beautiful God, a God that gave us taste, sight, hearing, feeling. God is the one that gave us these blessings for us to use. When we use these blessings, and we should thank God for them. You know, if God take away your taste from you, you be missing something. You see, if He take your eyes from you, you'll recognize that. You know that you saw something. He take your sight from you. You know. So we thank Allah for all these blessings that He have given us, because we use them every day. We use them every day. This is the God that we're talking about. We don't have no time for foolishness. We don't have no time for lies and deception. There's too many things in the creation that can bear witness that there is God. We don't need nobody. We don't need to lie to the people and tell the people somebody died for us, you know, in order for us to be successful. You don't need that. everything in creation bear witness that there is a creator. Everything. You got the whole creation to work with. You got the whole creation to use to prove your point with. That's how we talk to atheists. An atheist, you know, you can't show him God, but you can show him the creation, and the creation bear witness that there is a God. Creator and creation. We won't have no creation if there wasn't no creator. You know. Atheist's argument is a testimony against himself. It's against him now. You see? He got to have air. He got to have water. Take him off some of that air and take him and don't give him none of that water and see what he bear witness as a God. No. It was a testimony against himself. You got to prove to him that there's a creator. You know. So we are coming to you this way to bear witness that there's nothing like God, and there's only one God. And man can never be God. Never. None of the prophets claimed that they was God. That's what Allah said in the command. Allah said he'll send them in hell. He asked Jesus, did you teach the people to worship you in dedication of God, of me? Jesus said, never did I say such a thing. So if I had said it, you would have known it. He said, they are your servants. Talking about us. Talking about the creation. The human being. We are God's servants. You see? And God knows everything. Nothing passed by his knowledge. He said, not one leaf fall off the tree without his knowledge. Without it being written down in a book. One leaf. You see? And he talks about the grain, sand. Allah is all wise. He's all knowing. He's all seeing. It's no end to bearing witness to God. You know? You got some people can tell you some of the attributes of God. Some of it. It ain't never about everything, but it's talking about the 99 attributes of God. They can bear witness to you in reference to God's attribute. You know. So we bear witness to that God. So we thank everybody, you know, and we pray that we inspired, and we pray that God bless you with some insight, so you can inspire us. You can bring some of that, you know, and that's what we're waiting on. Because it's going to be powerful, brothers and sisters. We're going to have brothers and sisters coming to us. They're going to lighten us up. They're going to lighten the room up. It'll be so bright in there you have to wear shade. That's right. So that's what we're talking about. And I know I was raised up with a group of believers. We all live together. We laughed and talked and had good times and was able to bear witness to the truth, you know, and even went in business together. I remember I was in business with this brother named Jason there in Seattle, Washington, and we went to the airport and established a business there. at the airport. And what we did, we talked to the food and beverage manager. And I got Jason to talk to her because Jason, he was a negotiator. Well, he was a business. You sit down and talk to him, you're either going to believe in what he said or you're going to sit down and cry. Because he can talk. He can talk. Yeah, you're going to believe in it. So Jason, we got Jason to sit down and tell him that we can put some shoe shine stands in the different areas in the airport there in Seattle. And we did that. We put one in one corn car and another in another corn car. And guess what? The food and beverage manager bought us brand new shoeshine stand. And guess what he charged each one of us a month? $15. I mean, brother, Allah hear me. He charged us $15. That was our rent, $15. We got everything that we need. We put some mats up under the stand. Brother, we were making so much money. Allahu Akbar. We made some money. We made so much money I couldn't. It was so thick I couldn't fold it over. I had to put it straight down in my pocket. We had money. We made money. And the peoples were looking at us, and it was making us nervous, you know. And the Caucasian people that had the business started getting jealous of us, you know. But we made friends, though. That's one thing that you do, brothers and sisters. Make friends with the people. Give them a free shoe shine. And ask them to tell the people about you. He got to know how to work with them. Give them a free shoe shine, you know. And we had people that were, and guess what we made most of our money from? We made most of our money from the people that came out of Fort Lewis, the military. We had them boys shining. You know, they wanted to keep their boots and everything shine and polished. We was the person they came to, you know. We kept it. And guess what? Every day, on time, like the sunshine, Jason had his uniform on, and I had my uniform on. And you should have seen us walking down the hall. Walking fast. We looked good, and we walked fast, and we changed clothes and got into that uniform, and we made money. Yes, we did. He did it. Allah blessed us. I let everybody know about that. That was amazing. You know, we was making big money. And we were only paying $15 for rent, you know. And the peoples loved us. I'm talking about the one that we got in the business, because we talked to them when they got up in that chair. We talked to them. Oh, we got them to talk. That's the real sign. You if you know how to make another person talk, you know how to fire another person up and make him talk. They leave their feel like they done gave you something. They done contribute something to what's going on. And then it was African American business. That was something different. That was something new. You got two black brothers, you got two brothers in their own business, you know, making money. Seattle, Washington, SeaTac Airport. That's what it happened at. And we made money. We made money. We got our own place, you see. Wind up getting married and things like that. And I had plenty of money. And it wasn't funny. So brothers and sisters, we can do the same thing today. We can establish businesses. And when you open up businesses, don't act ugly. Please stop. Don't get away from that old ugly way. That's not the way of a Muslim. You know, when a person comes to your place, they should be happy. They should be glad to see you. They should be glad to come to your place. They had a movie that's on that came on the television. I never forget. It was a place that the person said that everybody go to, and that he goes to, because it's a place that everybody know your name. Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's a place that everybody knew your name. So let's establish these businesses, brothers and sisters. Let's look for some places in your hometown. You know, let's establish these businesses. Let's establish these businesses. Praises be to Allah. So we came to you, brothers. We came to you in peace, and we're gonna leave in peace. Or Islam and Lankum, if there's anybody have questions, if they have questions that they want to ask, or they got statements, or they want to speak the way I'm speaking right now, just enjoy yourself. And we will allocate you some time. Praise be to God.
No,
I'm walking
from
my car.
You're backing up on me.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Mr. Eagle,
go.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. Assalamu alaikum. My baby, by the end.
Alhamdulillah. You got it, brother. You ain't got to explain yourself. You got it.
We don't know anybody else in the queue wants to say anything, sees anybody else raise their hand and want to say anything, so no one else, so we thank you for coming to join us tonight. We are here to make sure that the world get the truth that has been kept away from, and that truth is there's nothing deserves any worship besides Allah, the creator of this creation. So that's our goal. We are here to make it clear that we are behind and we're going to catch up, because Allah said that the one who was on the bottom rail is going to become the top rail, meaning the one that they put down, then Allah would lift them up. And if Allah lifts someone up, then that's a sign to the other people of the world that God is not dead. Imam said they wrote into one of the major magazines that God is dead. What a bold statement coming from Satan himself. Satan himself believed in God, but he don't believe in God enough to admit to what God have asked him to admit to, so that would make him Satan. He's in opposition to the human being, not to God. He have nothing that can delude God or take God away from anything. But God let him give him an opportunity in this world where he could change. He only going to get, God, Allah say he's only going to get those who want to be with Satan. He can't get the one who want to be with the Creator. He won't get them. He only going to get those one. So he's doing his job, and Allah allow him, because Allah don't force nobody to serve him. Don't force nobody to serve him. But our job is to, what we are trying to do is get our young people and any of the people that have age on them, let's start spending our money with each other. Let's start get a root growing, get the root growing, and get that root coming out of the ground. Well, we just spending our money with each other. And once we get a root, and then we get some branches, limbs, then you'll see a different coming to the world. Because Satan can't stop this. His time is up. That was a time that he could stop this by any movement that we come up with. He could go in there and break that movement up. He can't do that no more. His time is up. Allah say his time is up. Allah say he get everything a time and a season. And he told Satan that he's going to let him do, well, he's going to let Satan do as much as he can do. But when Allah said you would never get his man, his people that love him, you'll never get them. You get the old one that follow you, Satan, and that way, Allah said they work well and good with him, because God Allah said when you do get those, he's going to feel you and Satan gonna feel Satan and those who follow Satan, he gonna put all of them in the hellfire. So it's easy for God. But he give every creature a chance. He give every human being a chance to submit or ask for forgiveness and then turn their life around. So that's what we're doing. We ask for forgiveness and good people gonna come and we're gonna go in business. We're gonna support each other. We're going to want safe and decent neighborhood to live in. We're going to want the people that be over us be just and fair. We ain't going to put no terrorists over us and then tell us that he's there to protect and serve. No, he protect and serve, but we want to make sure of that. We don't want to see what we've been seeing for the last 10 or 15 years where the people supposed to be protecting us and serving us now, killing men and women. Used to kill just men, but now they're killing women and they're hurting babies. So this is the new culture that they don't come up with. And they know that his time is up, so he unleashed the evil that's been put into the Caucasians, and especially the one with the Caucasian with the got a weapon, got a gun, he unleashed them on people who refuse to obey, come together and obey God. So Allah said he's your only protector. Without his protection, you have none. So that's why we here tonight, we have the protection of Allah. He protecting us while we talk to you like that. He protecting us while we trying to get this new world started up and moving out and making progress. Well, no, if we was in the 40s, in the 50s, we probably have to be on the run. And like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to be on the run. And I understand that Imam W. Muhammad had to be on the run for a little while. Because Satan and his imps, the imps, wanted to kill them. Why? Because they know they had some truth. They know they had what it takes to remake or build a good world first for the African American living in. Now we're trying to get the African American and do what Allah said, get every human being that wants to obey God, don't care who we are or who she is, they have opportunity to come into this art, or you want to call it art, or come into this best way of life and make it. Come in this good way of life and make it. Because there's always been Caucasian in this community. Many Caucasian women told the Amalai Muhammad they weren't no devil. They was able to come into the community and live and serve in this community. And nobody bothered them. Nobody made no fuss at them. Nobody called them a devil because they had told Elijah they weren't no devil, put that long dress on, put that MGT outfit on and went to work. So, and then there were always, like Imam said, albinos. Albinos are light-skinned African-American. Then you got some Caucasian albinos. So these people like that who will come in and say they want to work and they want to stay in the Muslim journal and the Muhammad speak, if they came in with the attitude to build this nation, then we allowed them to stay here. So we ain't never been no racist. We only been people that bear the truth, carry the truth to the world that we've seen that need to be carried at that time. Dr. King was trying to march and beg and get beat up and stuff. We weren't about to do that. We were bringing the reality that the Caucasian man was the devil. And the devil and the lust and the life that he chose is a life of a devil. Even his children have become devils. Huh? So that's what he did that to help the Caucasian people. And it helped them because when somebody calls you a devil, you got to prove that you're not a devil. And that's what the Caucasian had to do. And they tried to pass law. They tried to say they weren't like that. No, they were put in them coming from the liars, that they God came in their image. And that made their heads swell up and made them build up with false pride and everything and made unnatural and ungodly people out of them. And we had to make them change. And Dr. King did what he had to do. And Elijah did what he had to do. Malcolm did what he had to do. So all this was the ingredients to make the Caucasian see his ugly self. Now he talking about racial theory. In other words, he don't want you to even bring this up. But how are we going to go in business if we tear down what they done build up of lies? We ain't no good. We got to tear that down. We can't come together. We can't work together. That ain't nothing but lies. And we know it come from all the other lies we have received. Santa Claus, hiding eggs, all this have a psychological effect on us because false religion is the worst form of oppression. And that's what the Caucasian people produced and gave to the Hau people, false worship. And they still on the false worship. And that's why they don't see themselves owning no Sam Club, owning no Texaco gas station, owning no Whopper House with their Whoppers in there, no Pancake House with their pancakes in there. They can't see themselves owning that, owning a burger place. And we done had burger place that is superior to McDonald's and Burger King. But we can't see ourselves owning them things today because that image in the world, because we don't integrate it with the people who really need to be separate, need to be by themselves. We don't integrate with them people. And now we want to be like them because our people don't sit under that image so long they hate themselves and wish that they look like that image. They wish they could be in that image. So many of them can't be in that image or be look like that image, so they're going to marry a Caucasian, a male or female. And many Caucasians are marrying African-American women and vice versa, which is nothing wrong with that, as long as that Caucasian is not calling that African-American out of his name, as long as that false superiority don't show up in the marriage. Then they can make it. But long as that image up in the world, long as up in the houses in America, long as you can go in somebody's house and look up on the wall and you see Dr. King, you see Kennedy, and you will see another person, and then you will look on the other wall, there's a Caucasian man nailed to the cross, or there's a Caucasian man got a lamb in his arm, talking about he is your Lord and Savior. That kind of line and that kind of attitude would have destroyed that person who lived in that house. That person in the house would lie to himself, lie to you. Somebody died for your sin. Somebody going to save you from your sin. And we know in order for anybody to save themselves, they got to stop doing the wrong that this world offered them. If they're not going to stay out the liquor store, they're not going to stop drinking and smoking weed and naked and looking all kind of ways, they're not going to save nothing. They're not going to be able to save any money coming from the job they got because they have become a spendthrift thinking they this is the way the world is. They spend everything they got. African Americans don't think they should save a penny. They have less sense than a squirrel. At least a squirrel know to save him some nuts and put them in a certain place where he can go back and pick them up so he deposits those nuts all over the neighborhood. And when he get home, he go get the nuts. And how many African Americans got enough money to cover the 2 months rent, or 1 month rent, or 1 month rent and light bill, and 1 month rent and gas bill? Have nothing to put up. And then come around the 25th of December, how people that the only one run to the long shops, run to the people title palms and all that, and pawn their title to their car just to celebrate one day of the biggest lies of all the lies in the world, that Jesus was born on that day. And then the other lies come with it, with Santa Claus, Rudolph, the rain, the red, all these lies come with all the other lies, and they mount up and they rob African Americans of all the little money they got, just like the sharecropper used to do. The sharecropper, the African American, called himself sharecropping with the Caucasian man, and every year he always come up short. Every year he always come up old, and the plantation owner, the owner of the land, he didn't make enough money out of all the cotton and all the peas and all the watermelons and all of the all of the grapes and all of the peaches that they picked. They still end up owing the person that they sharecrop with. It's nothing but a scam, a pimp, and they have did that to us for all these years. But Allah let us know no one leave this earth without getting his judgment. They ain't going to leave, we ain't going to leave, and you ain't going to leave. No one going to leave this earth without seeing some judgment coming from the best of the judge, the final judge, the one who knows and sees all things. Nobody with nothing that missed, no, he never sleep nor slumber, so nothing escaped his vision. So no one gets away with nothing. So God said he created us for one reason, that we do right on this earth so we can get the blessing. We don't do right and we decide to do all the wrong, we will get some punishment for that. God is often giving and most merciful. He give everything time, or he give everything a warning of what he going to do. Anytime a storm come up, a warning come up with it. Clouds get black and dark, give you a time to get to some shelter or get where you can be safe. But if you don't ignore that sign and you stay there, God might send a big wind to pick you up and the house and put you in another county. God is in charge. He knows and sees everything. So we're here tonight to screen out the lies. That's what a warning do. He come and bring the truth as a warning to you. And the warning come from Allah. It come from the people that Allah trusted with the warning to give to the people. But the people do not have to take heed to the warning. And that's on them. But the scripture said they wished it, when that time come, they wished they had took heed to the warning. So we're tonight in the Brock Talk Radio Station to bring this truth to you, because we love the human family. All men and women on this earth is connected because we all come from Adam. Huh? So we are trying to help the children of Adam because we are the children of Adam. We're trying to make a way for we can all come back together. But we know some of our people, they got everything, and jealousy and envy don't come in, and they don't want to share this great material world with all of us. They don't want to see us happy. And they really don't want to see us happy because they think God has given this earth to them and it solely belongs to them because all Caucasian people, what color would you call God other than white? So Caucasian people call themselves white and they say God is white and they say white people stick together. White gods stick together. So all of this is affecting the world that we live in. So I'm going to look in the queue and see if there's anyone else who would like to add to this great conversation that we have, that God is one. We need jobs, meaning that we have to tell our children from now on, go to school, get the education, but bring that knowledge back and make jobs for our community. Make jobs so we can have a community and put protection over that community that paid for by us. We don't want these ignorant Caucasian races think they're better than you, been tricked out of their good senses over our children, over our wives, and over our livelihood, because we know they will blow you away. If they don't electrocute you to death, they'll shoot you to death with that pistol they put on their thigh. So let's work hard to get that kind of environment. Amen. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad told us, no one stop being a Muslim, stop being a person that meant his will to do the will of God until they fall into the wrong environment. America got the wrong environment all over. It's everywhere we live. It is every community, the wrong environment, the environment full of liquor, alcohol, drugs, nudity, and everything else, false homosexuality. This is the environment that we must get away from so our children and our people and the people who love God won't keep being affected by this sickness, this disease that swallow people, that keep call people to lose their good life that God them gave them. So we're going to look in the queue again. Let me take a peep in the queue and see who's there. And we might want to say something and add to what we're saying.
Nobody has raised their hand.
Well, I'm going to turn this, kick this back to Suja. Suja, assalamu alaikum. Anybody else who wants to share with us tonight while you're here with us, want to add, want to say something that have affected you that you don't like or
maybe
you feel?
Huh?
Yeah, Suja probably breaking his fast. He's probably on the way back. So we thank all of you for coming. Bring a friend. Bring some friend. Bring some good people, bad people. We'll bring somebody that we want to hear what they have to say. We will take notes and see what they have to say. We are here to make sure that the human being got a voice in this world because they don't want us to share, and all of us got something that we can share in this world to help this world to be better. All of us got something. All of us been and seen something in this world that we don't like, or something in this world that has taken us away from the good life that God wants us to have. So we done seen something. So we ain't nothing too small or too or less that can't be said that will help this world be the best world that we all live in. So anybody got anything to say? And Suja, are you still there? Come on back. Assalamu alaikum. You done broke your fast.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I'm delighted. I was thinking about letting you close it on down, but alhamdulillah, you did. I see that you fired up, and praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. That's the fast. And that's a blessing from Allah. You know, sign of obey Allah. Yes, sir. Blessing from Allah. You know, brother Ibrahim, he's on fire. Alhamdulillah. He was on fire. I was trying to get Menza in here. Menza is a brother that wife was in that bad car wreck in Alabama, yes. A Muslim sister. And they had to cut her out the car, and then they had to helicopter her out to Florida. But she done made it back now. She done made it back home. She's doing better.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We've been saying prayers for her. You know, and it's amazing, you know. So
yes, sir.
He said that he was gonna come on. We was gonna get him on. He was on last Friday. I mean, he was on last time. Yeah. He was on, and got a chance to say a few words. But we were trying to get him back on again. You know,
yes, sir. Again.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah, sir. So he'll be back for more. I gave him the number. I got in contact. I didn't talk to him, but I called him, and then I left a message. I left a text on Cypher Law. I was trying to get him so we can talk about his book a little bit, you know. So, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you know, we got to keep on. We can't turn around. We can't stop now. You know, we got to keep on going. So we gonna close it up in prayer.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Akbar, you want to close it up in prayer?
I can. أشهد إلا إله إلا الله أشهد إلا إله محمد رسول الله Oh Allah, the Lord is the most perfect call of this prayer that we offer most gracious and most merciful Allah is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live we bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped besides Allah and we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets Oh Allah, continue. Oh Allah, kuku wa la ahad. Allahu samah. Lam yulad wa lam yulad. Wa lam yulad kufu wa la ahad. I mean.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you,
Allah. We're going to try to bring some more Shah brothers on here.
Yes, sir. Bring some youngsters on here.
Yes. We're going to definitely do that. We're going to keep working in that direction. You know, I try not to come on here by myself, you know, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
All right. We pray that Allah bless us. Some people going to be doing the Night of Power tonight. This is our night. So you're going to have some people doing the Night of Power tonight, inshallah. It ain't over with. I still don't know where they come.
Well, they got the lamb.